Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 48 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. I'm going to have a full debrief, a very detailed debrief of the Integrity Tour. The segment itself, I'm going to have Tracy Wilson on, and it's actually pretty long, so I'm not going to do a CCFR update segment. So right after the break, we're going to go into it, and I'll have one break in between. But that's going to be the whole episode. And even though the segment is going to be pretty long, I guarantee you it won't be boring because there were a lot of stories from the road and certainly an interesting experience and we learned a lot. So stay tuned for that. And then once that's over, I'll come back and say my goodbyes. And that'll be it for this episode. And we'll be back to the original format in the next one after this. So again, all that and more right after this.
Once you lose rights, it's nearly impossible to get them back. Right now, there are politicians and bureaucrats working day and night to eliminate your ability to own and use firearms in Canada. They're talking about not allowing you to keep your firearms at home and even taking away the ones you already have. It's not a joke. It's not an exaggeration. Activism is a lot of work, and most people don't have the time. But something that you can do is support the CCFR. For $40 a year, you can be a part of the hardest working firearm organization in Canada and get $5 million worth of insurance. The CCFR lobbies government and works to improve the public image of gun owners through media and educational campaigns. Protect your own ability to own and use firearms before it's too late. Go to firearmrights.ca and click Why Join. That's firearmrights.ca.
All right, on the Skype, I've got Tracy Wilson for a full conversation slash report slash reminiscing session of the Integrity Tour. How's it going, Tracy?
Hi, Rod. It's going great. How are you doing? You must be happy to be home.
I'm definitely happy to be home. Not that I didn't enjoy driving around in a fully wrapped 30-foot RV, to demonstrate my commitment to the cause for gun owners.
Well, you know, besides going to the range, my second most favorite thing to do is to trigger liberals. So it's been a full 2 weeks of doing exactly that. So it's heavenly.
Yeah. Well, and your level of commitment was higher than mine and actually even a little bit higher than what I'm saying, which we'll hear in one of your stories from the road after I had jumped out in Toronto. But first thing, real quick, because I'm not going to do a first segment where I do any kind of CCFR update. Just some other news around the CCFR. We released two explainer videos in and amongst all of the other stuff that we've done. So feel free to check out the CCFR YouTube page, the YouTube channel, and find those two explainers. One is about how toxic the gun debate is. And basically, it's our answer to people jumping up and down screaming NRA all the time. So it's a great rebuttal, especially to, you know, people, low IQ, low ability people like Christopher Holcroft over at the doctor's group. Just feel free to go to the YouTube channel, grab the link and paste it in there every time they talk about NRA tactics or the NRA North or NRA talking points or rhetoric or all this crap. You can post that. And also an explainer video about the straw purchasing aspect of the liberal platform. So they're always, you know, they're talking about their concern about domestically sourced firearms and then trying to say that a significant amount of licensed gun owners are buying firearms on behalf of criminals and gang members. Well, we did some research into that, and so did some other folks here in Canada, and we've got an explainer video. So anytime they talk about that, post that explainer video. It's really important that you guys use these tools that we're giving you. They're not tools to be, you know, put out there and just go, hey, look at this nice explainer we did. And you're like, yeah, I already knew that. It's a tool to go online and to go to war with, and also even just to help you explain things to people that you're trying to convert. So anyway, it was a long explanation, but it's really important. Those tools are useless if you don't use them. And then, you know, I am very excited. I've got the biggest tweet that I ever, ever sent out, ever tweeted. And that's the Bill Blair video, just the snippet of him trying to lie to us. And instead of answering a question like, hey, you know, we're concerned about you seizing rifles from 250,000 Canadians. And his answer is to attack me personally and lie about it. So that's gone pretty viral. So check that out on Twitter or on Facebook. And so there's that. Now, onwards and upwards, we want to talk about the Integrity Tour. So why don't you talk about a couple of things, and then I'll chime in where I can.
Well, I got to say, this, although this was thrown together at the last minute, things went pretty smooth. It was very exciting. We didn't have an entire game plan put together at the beginning, and I sort of wanted to have like a tour tracker. It just, there wasn't enough time to get that stuff done. However, we were able to, you know, door kick quite a few candidates on both sides of the conversation, which is important. And at the same time, we got to connect with gun owners all across the country at different places. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was interesting. There's all kinds of fun stories. Did we want to do a recap of where we went on this adventure?
Yeah, yeah, I can kind of guide the first part until you were by yourself.
Okay.
But I will say it was an interesting experience. And yes, it all came together in like literally 4 or 5 days. From, you know, hey, maybe this would work to, you know, yeah, we're leaving and flights booked.
The bus.
Well, yeah, right. It was, yeah. It came together really quick, because we were getting desperate. We needed to do something, more than even what we were doing. And we've been doing a lot. I think anybody that follows the CCFR knows that. But I think one thing I would say is that we learned a lot. Mm-hmm. We learned a lot in this experience, and we know what we would do differently or do more of, I think, next time. But anyway, it all got kicked off at a press conference in West Block.
Yeah, so this was the first time that we've done a press conference in that part of Parliament, since, as everyone knows, Centre Block is shut down for the next 10 years for renovations and remodeling. So they've got a brand new room there, and of course it's state-of-the-art, all the great amenities. And that was awesome. The staff were amazing, treated us like gold. And we had, I don't know, 5 or 6 mainstream media there filming and, you know, and checking it out. So, you know, I think it was successful.
Well, I always find it interesting how, you know, the mainstream, like one aspect, you know, mainstream media don't like the term fake news, right? And right. Is some of the stuff they report fake? It absolutely is, right? You know, mm-hmm. they make mistakes and there's mistakes, but they, and there are many examples of them actually pushing false information. But there's another kind of aspect of that, which is they do it through omission. So, right. You know, yeah, you'll never hear the other side of the story. It's a one-sided narrative. We've been complaining a lot about that recently, but even though there were, I think, 5 or 6 cameramen there, we only ended up with one question, and that just kind of reinforced the reason why we have to go out there and actually directly engage with Canadians at whatever level that we possibly can.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, here was the perfect opportunity. They've got the gun lobby right in their clutches, right? Trapped in a room with them. This was the perfect opportunity to ask us some of those hard-hitting questions or you know, even put some of those accusations out there and get a clear, concise answer right from the horse's mouth. But of course that didn't happen. So, you know, this is the thing. We cannot, everyone says, why isn't this on mainstream? We don't control that. We cannot rely on the media to tell our side of the story, which is why we have to do the things we do in order to get our message out there to everyday Canadians.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then, so we left the press conference and we started heading east to Montreal. Looking for, well, we went there originally looking for Justin Trudeau, and we were going to stop by a range on the way there. So what happened there?
Yeah. So we went to Montreal first we drove up and down Wellington, which was super fun for me. I was excited. You guys were driving back and forth. I was videoing it. I had the guys from CPAC out there beside me videoing it. But, then we headed east to Montreal. That was a great drive. We went to CRAFM, which is, well, it's French, so I'm going to avoid saying it, but it's a great range in Montreal. They've allowed me to do some work there with the BBC and some other media type stuff, which is very difficult to get in Quebec. A lot of the ranges are not very open to having media at their range for obvious reasons, because they can't be trusted. And anyways, we had a great meet and greet there with the gang from Montreal. We were really well received. We had tons of support. Everyone was loving the bus. It was super fun. And then we carried on. We knew Justin would not be at his riding office or his campaign office because he was going to be at the French language debates that night right in Montreal. So we proceeded to go downtown to go to the location of the French language federal debate. And unfortunately, there wasn't really parking around. So we just kind of drove around the debate, like the venue where the debate was being held, and honking the horn. We had a loud hailer. It was kind of interesting. Anyways, just literally just driving that thing around, stopping at the red lights or being stuck in traffic, it gives people the opportunity to read it. You know, it says liberal failure. So automatically you're looking at it. What is this? And then you read it and it says soft on crime, tough on gun owners. And that's undeniable. I think everybody knows that. So it does create a lot of conversation, lots of looks. We were getting honked at like mad because, of course, the back of the bus says honk if you support legal gun owners in huge, like it's like a giant square, right? So anyways, yeah, that was pretty exciting. So we had a great time in Montreal. And
we had the bullhorn. I was starting to have a little bit too much fun bullhorning people.
Yes.
So yeah. Then we had to roll that back a little because I was like, oh yeah, I could do this all night.
Oh, I know. It is a lot of fun. It's pretty fun with the bullhorn out the window. In fact, I've got some secret footage on Summer's phone of that. So yeah, for $20, it's yours. So okay. All right. Yeah. But then we headed back this direction because the following day we were going to be visiting our friends in Kingston on our way to the GTA. So we landed back in Ottawa for the night and then set out fresh in the morning, stopped at SFRC Ammo Source just outside Kingston on our way down the 401, had a nice meet and greet with people there. Already the Tim's cards and the gas cards were flowing. It was amazing. People were really excited to see the bus, really supportive of the work that we're doing. And it was a good time. And then, of course, we headed on to the GTA, our first stop being Ajax. So in Ajax, we stopped first at Tom Dingwall. So Tom Dingwall is the Conservative candidate for the federal riding of Ajax, who is running against Liberal incumbent Mark Holland, who has not been a friend to gun owners. So we were anxious to support Tom's federal bid at the same time as stomping on Mark's. So we had a great visit with Tom's office. The whole office came outside and checked out the bus. And yeah, it was great. We did a little video. You can find it on our Facebook page. Did a little video with Tom inside. Tom is he's a homicide detective. He's a cop, 27-year veteran. He's actually still a cop. He's on a leave of absence right now while he runs for a federal seat. So he's got a lot of real, firsthand experience in how to combat crime effectively, how to solve crimes, how to prevent crimes. So, he would be a huge asset to the people of Ajax. And after that, we swung on over to the FOC, Firearms Outlet Canada. And had a great chat with our friends over there and some support on that end as well.
The party that we had over at Tom's was pretty good.
That was a good party. Yeah.
It really looked like a little party right in the strip mall there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was hilarious and lots of people coming and honking. And I mean, we didn't give people very much notice and I don't know, we had that 40 or 50 people standing outside the bus. So
yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was great. And then, to visit with the guys at FOC and thank you to them for letting us camp in the back of the business. 'Cause that's where we stayed the night. And,
And on top of that, Fred, donated $1,000 on behalf of TACCOM, to the CCFR, to help on the tour. So we really appreciate that.
Yeah. His support is just incredible. And, you know, that whole event TACOM is wonderful and as amazing as it is, we've covered it in previous episodes, that kind of thing is a thing of the past if the Liberals get elected on Monday. So, you know, that there won't be any need for TACOM because we won't have that stuff anymore. So it's, you know, it's pretty important that the community pull together. So, yeah, it was great support from Fred.
Okay, so then we were trying to chase Mark Holland around. We went to his office. That was, and he wasn't there, obviously. He was out campaigning, but we would have liked to find, he was door knocking. We would have liked to find out where he was door knocking so we could have put the four-way flashers on and follow him as he door knocked, but we weren't able to do that. All we could find really was one of his signs, which we took a picture with.
Yeah, because apparently Mark Holland fights you. I think we just need to remove that number four. He's got hashtag fights for you, which we stole. But I think we should just remove the number four because Mark Holland fights you. Yes, he fights Canadians. He hates them. So.
Yeah. So that wasn't bad. And, oh, you know what? We forgot when we left Ottawa, we went and saw Justina McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah. She is so hilarious. She was so excited to see the bus. I've never seen a woman so excited over a Liberal failure bus, although I guess I wouldn't see that very often. But she was super excited. She's always been a great supporter. Justina is not a gun owner, but she's come out to the range with me. She's given it a chance. She actually, during her campaign, she had got herself a booth at the local gun shows, like the little, you know, the CARP gun show and all the little township gun shows. And I think, like, what a brilliant idea, right? A lot of her riding, she's a half and half, right? She's got half urban and half rural. So she really understands her audience. She understands the interests of the constituents in her area. And she's a really good one to watch because right now 3-3 Canada has her in a complete toss-up with the Liberal incumbent, who, of course,
McCrimmon.
McCrimmon happens to also be Ralph Goodale's parliamentary secretary. So we've got a vested interest in seeing Karen McCrimmon be defeated as well, because, of course, the parliamentary secretary position is usually a grooming position for a ministerial position down the road. So, yeah, we stopped there. You had a little tug of war with the door with Karen McCrimmon's office staff. I don't know what he thought. Like, no, you just can't come in here at all. But yeah, he was closing the door in our face. And
yeah, a lot of these people have very poor social skills, actually.
Well, you know, like, yeah. I get it. I mean, we're driving around in a bus that says Liberal failure. But my idea, I think, would be to try and have a conversation and not look like a fool. Pulling on the door, well, you've got it by the other handle. Like, it just seems so juvenile to me. And I thought, wow, this is, there you go, Canada. There you go, constituents. I mean, you know, Karen's got to understand that half her riding is a rural riding. And there's a lot of gun ownership in this city. So.
Yeah. Well, apparently those people can screw off. That's the attitude, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we backtracked there a little bit, but we were in Ajax and then we made our way over to Scarborough, I believe, searching for Bill Blair's campaign office.
Yeah. To be honest, like, I think that riding really needs a change of government. You know, I mean, we did get to see a lot of different, you know, various parts of Canada on this tour. And I got to say, the people of Scarborough, they need some help. Like, that area is really run down. The infrastructure is failing. It's a high crime area. You know, it needs some new leadership. So we found what we thought was Bill Blair's office. And I guess it was his constituency office in a strip mall. It looked like it had been bombed out or something. Of course, it was completely locked up and nobody was there. So in our search looking for him, we thought, well, at the same time, what we could do is go talk to Kimberly Fawcett. So she's the Canadian veteran who's running against Bill for the Conservative Party of Canada. She served in Afghanistan and she actually was involved in a terrible car accident. She lost her leg. She also lost her baby in that accident, which is, I don't know, as a mom and a grandma, I can't even fathom what she went through. But she had a really hard time dealing with Veterans Affairs in order to get a little bit of help, get a leg, literally get a leg. And Bill just ignored her emails, ignored her cries for help. She managed to raise the money on her own through a, I believe it was, online fundraising. And she did get her leg. And of course, they deployed her after that. Right? So it's funny, they wouldn't help her get a leg. But as soon as she got one on her own, they had no problem deploying her. And anyways, she's pretty much fed up with the whole situation. And she announced a while back that she would be running against Bill Blair, and he failed to help her. It failed to help veterans, failed to help his constituents, and pretty much been a big failure. So we had a great visit at her office. Her sister was working in the campaign office. She was out on the trail. So, we stopped in there, had a great visit, and they gave us the goods on where Bill Blair's campaign office is. So next thing you know, we head straight back to where we were before, and it's literally at the opposite end of the strip mall. So I guess we were so excited to see the Bill Blair sign. We thought we got it. We didn't look down and see the second sign 100 meters down the way. So yeah. That's where things got interesting.
Yeah, and that's what spawned the now famous Bill Blair interview. But you know what? We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we'll talk about that in just 1 minute.
Wolverine Supply is your one-stop shop for anything and everything firearms, optics, ammunition, accessories, and archery. Exclusive Canadian distributor for the industry's top-tier brands and manufacturers, with access to some of the most sought-after products in the country. Our online store provides convenient shopping and full access to our entire inventory 24/7. For 30 years, Wolverine Supplies has been an industry leader in the firearms community and continuously strives to provide an unbeatable customer experience. Check us out online at WolverineSupplies.com and to sign up to our newsletter. That's WolverineSupplies.com.
Okay, we're back. So we, obviously we have so much to talk about, so we got to move it along quickly. If you haven't seen the Bill Blair interview, it's up on the CCFR YouTube channel. And then there's a snippet kind of tweet that I tweeted out. It was, in fact, it's kind of funny, and I'll make this quick, is I saw a video of Justin Trudeau, I guess because he had to put a, what they're calling a bulletproof vest on. He's complaining about the state of political discourse. And I mean, like he owns the decline of political discourse. But again, it's just a perfect example of liberal hypocrisy. I don't even think it registers for him how hypocritical that is. But as soon as I saw that, I got triggered, and I'm like, I'll show you political discourse. Here's a video of Bill Blair. I ask him a reasonable question, or tell him what our concern is. And then he attacks me and lies. Like I said, something I didn't say. So I had to make that video. But yeah, if you want to see the full disastrous interview, it's on the CCFR YouTube channel, and it's fully annotated too. So that would just basically, I spent 8 hours actually editing that video just so people could see, remember the points of what was really going on there, rather than to just, eyes glaze over listening to Bill Blair talk and, and what he thinks what a conversation looks like is him talking nonstop. But nonetheless, we ended up with that. And then from there,
that alone made the entire trip worth it. I just want to say that was
you're amazing. Right. You're right. It was. And after, when we walked out of there, I think that's exactly what I said. I said, if we don't do anything else on this whole trip, that was worth it, just because of the material and the insight into this is the mind of the Liberal government, which is, as long as I get 50+1, I'll do anything I want to.
Yeah, and so, that's right. Yeah.
And that's exactly what it was. Like, if you watch the interview, that's exactly what it was. Anyway, so we left there and we headed to Burlington.
Yeah, so that was great. We went and camped in the driveway of our friend Emily Sanford Brown. She's with the Ontario Provincial Trap Shooting Association. She has been a great spokesperson for legal gun owners. She's been in the shooting industry for over 40 years. She actually won Female Shooter of the Year at TACOM. And she's fantastic. So we camped out in her place, in her driveway overnight. She made us a wonderful breakfast and then took us on a little trip. So we went to go see if we could find Pam Damoff, We went to, I guess, what was her constituency office first. Of course, it was closed. And then we carried on to her campaign office, which I guess we really triggered her, although she wasn't there, or at least she didn't come out and speak to us. Once again, not so warmly received. We had Colin driving, so he stops in the fire lane, and we get out, and we tried to talk to her staff and see if, you know, I left my cell phone number and see if, you know, maybe there's an opportunity to engage her in a discussion about the policies that they are putting forward for the election. Anyways, of course, you know, it just ended with them, you know, snapping pictures of us. Like, I don't know, they think they really got us. So the following day, Pam actually put a video out on social media, you know, defending her position of forced confiscation of legal guns to end gang crime. And then her big complaint was in the comments of that video. She put a photo of the bus sitting in the bus in the fire lane and was like, and here is the gun lobby illegally parked. And I thought, are you kidding me? Like, the country's on fire and you're worried about us illegally parked for what, 30 seconds? Anyway,
your leader is changing the criminal code to protect his corporate buddies. And you know, the big expose you've got is that the gun lobby was illegally parked in front of your office for 5 minutes. But anyway,
that's, oh, yeah.
changing the criminal code, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, and some snowflake responds to her and says, oh, my God, I can't believe it. And I'm thinking, yeah. you know, it's like that meme of the dog drinking coffee and the whole place is on fire. Everything's fine. You know, like, what is wrong with these people? But
So enough of that craziness. We headed down to the Niagara region.
Yeah, the beautiful Niagara region. So this is an area of Ontario that is absolutely exquisite. It's wine country. It's gorgeous. We went down there. We had a beautiful meet and greet with our friends at NAS Guns and Ammo. So that was awesome. The whole crew from Coat of Arms was there. Tons of gun owners came out. Lots of pictures, lots of videos. We had a great time and ended up staying in the area for dinner and
They had a barbecue for us.
Oh yeah, they had a full-on barbecue, which was so awesome to have, like, hot cooked food. It was great. Yeah,
it was the only stop where I decided I would have a few drinks.
Yes, and we also got some amazing Coat of Arms coffee, which was ideal the next morning because, of course, it's not only important to keep the vehicle fueled, but also the people. So thanks to Coat of Arms for the coffee.
Little absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we actually took a couple hours off that day. Actually, no, because we didn't intend to take a couple hours off. We went to go. I think it was a Sunday is what it was, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Nobody was around. Nothing was open. So,
oh yeah, like we drove around and tried, and of course all the offices are closed. Like, there was nothing we could do, right? So we ended up, you know, basically just saying, okay, well, I guess we'll just go take a couple hours and do something different. So we went down and checked out the falls. Rod has never seen Niagara Falls. So that was pretty cool. I mean, it's one of the great wonders of the world, and the weather was pretty crappy. It was raining and stuff, but yeah, checked out the sites and walked around a little bit. So it was just something different. That was great.
We stayed at Corey Levitt's house from Coat of Arms. So it was very nice of him to put us up.
Yes. Had a bonfire and everything. It was so fun. It was like real camping instead of in the back of a parking lot. So,
yeah. Well, we have not been doing glamorous camping, but
no, not at all.
And then
inside a dumpster, literally.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then we headed to Toronto, and that's where I jumped out, but at least I made a grand exit because I got dropped off at Toronto Pearson Airport in the Liberal Failure bus, which a few people were kind of like had the furrowed brow as I jumped out of there, which was good.
Oh yeah, we were waving and honking, and you know, it's like the Queen just arrived. Oh yeah, that's the way we act everywhere we go. So yeah, that was great. And yeah, and then that night, Colin and I trucked on. We made it to, oh, I don't even know where we made it. I believe Sault Ste. Marie. We drove for about 6 or 7 hours. It was about 10 o'clock at night when we pulled in, camped for the night. The following day, we drove on to Thunder Bay, and then camped again. So there's 2 days where there was really no activity. We did some update videos from the bus. You can check them out on social media. But there wasn't really any door kicking going on. And then we stopped in Kenora. So Kenora is the kind of Northern Ontario riding of Liberal incumbent Bob Nault. Now, you may remember Bob Nault from such infamy as standing up in the House of Commons. This is on the Hansard and everything. And saying that gun owners have many mental issues, right? We have mental challenges. I just dumbfounded by that. Anyways, he had promised his constituents at the local gun club that he would stand up for their interests and vote against C-71. And of course, he did not. So they called him out on it. The Lake of the Woods Gun Club in Kenora, Ontario, actually have a huge billboard out at the front entrance of their gun club, right on the main highway, that opposes C-71 with a great big slash through it and calls out Bob Nault for going back on his word that he would, that he would protect the interests of his constituents rather than toe the party line. So we went to go see Bob Nault, and his office was a ghost town. Like, here we are, barely over a week before the election. Everybody else is hard to get because they're out campaigning. And his office was a complete ghost town. Doors locked, lights off, nothing going on. So we parked the bus right out in front of his campaign office. Colin and I had a quick lunch before heading out to the gun club. And we also made a pit stop to see Eric Mellello, who is the local conservative candidate. So we got some pictures and stuff there, had a great chat with Eric's mom. And then we went out to the Lake of the Woods Gun Club for a meet and greet. And we were super well received. These are top notch guys. And this range, it's a very small range, I think 250 members, if I remember correctly, but absolutely beautiful. They've got a 500 yard shooting range. It's just absolutely gorgeous, like a really, really beautiful spot. And they actually let us camp there overnight. So huge thanks to the Lake of the Woods Gun Club. And so that was a lot of fun. And then, of course, that night I developed this kind of weird feeling on the right side of my face. And I was like, oh, something's not very comfortable. But I ignored it. And the next morning we got up and headed straight for Winnipeg. So the plan was that we would rendezvous with Rick Ryan from Browning, Canada, and Andrew LaChapelle, who is a CCFR field officer, and he's also Iron City Action on social media, for those of you who follow him. So we're going to rendezvous with the two guys, grab some quick lunch, do a little bit of game planning, and strategize on who we were going to door kick that afternoon, right? Well, by the time we made it to lunch, I ordered my lunch, and I was, trying to be tough and not complain. And I just looked at Rick Ryan and my eyes were almost watering. And I said, I don't know what is happening in my jaw right now, but it's killing me. And I don't think I can take it. So he tried calling his dentist and seeing if I could get in. We couldn't get in. We did. The second dentist we called, which was a referral from his dentist, said, if you can be here in 20 minutes, we'll check it out. Within half an hour of walking in their office, I was walking back out frozen and done. I cracked a tooth, somehow it got infected, and the options were kind of live with it with maybe some antibiotics until I can get back and see my own dentist and see if we can save the tooth or just pull it out and be done with it. Well, when you're on tour and you don't know when you're going to get home and you're too far away from your own dentist, I just said, sacrifice the tooth, the tour continues. So yeah, that was pretty funny because of course I had the Jean Chrétien face going on there for a little while, but Rick actually was up for the challenge. I said, well, my face is half frozen now. I'm not going to be able to be the lead spokesperson when we go door kick Liberals, right? So we went over to his Liberal incumbent candidate, Marianne Michuk. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but she's a Winnipeg Liberal. So we went over to her office to see if we could speak with her. She was not in, but we did have about a half hour conversation with her campaign manager. I do have some footage from it, so I'm just working. I just honestly haven't had time to do anything with it, and they're huge, long clips. So, of course, I want to isolate some great parts. But there were some interesting tidbits in there, and I'm going to be sharing that with everybody shortly. But Rick did a really great job leading the conversation because, unfortunately, my face was frozen, so I was out of commission. The weather, meanwhile, got nastier and nastier. And, you know, winds were blowing and howling and sleet and snow and ice. And I was like, what is going on? Anyways, the guys had to get back to work. So we put them back off at the Boston Pizza where we had parked. And Colin and I stopped by Marway Militarium. So this is a CCFR business owner. It's like a military surplus shop. Great supporter of the CCFR, the calendar. They sponsor a month in the calendar. And a great supporter of the tour as well. I did a little quick video there. You can find that on social media. She set us up with authentic Army wool blankets, which were amazing. And we ended up needing them very badly that night. She set us up with some Black Rifle coffee and $200 in gas cards, which was fantastic. Just a real great family business. Her dad was there. Her husband was there. Dog. You know,
that's really awesome. Yeah.
And it's a cool shop. Like they have so much cool gear in there, you know, and we did a little interview because although they're not a firearms retailer, we talked about the potential impact on their business because they cater to firearms owners, right? You know, sure, there's some paintball guys or airsoft or whatever that go in and buy some of their gear. But for the most part, their main clientele are gun owners. So, you know, she's very concerned about the liberal policy and what it means for them as a small family business. But if you are in the Winnipeg area, it's right near the airport. It is well worth your time to go in there. Tons and tons of cool gear, everything you can imagine, and really great prices. So we stopped there, did that, had a great visit with them, super welcoming. And then we popped over to the airport and grabbed my youngest daughter, Summer, who had flown in. She was missing mom and, you know, she was off school for the long weekend. So I said, well, come out and join us. The idea was to bring her out and she could continue the tour. We were going to stop at Wolverine Supplies. There were some politicians we had to meet with there and then continue on to Regina to go kick Ralph's door. So that was the plan. Unfortunately, we pick up Summer at the airport. She lands at 6. We get on the highway and we start heading towards Brandon in the direction that we need to go for Verdun. We didn't get an hour out of Winnipeg. And that bus, you know, it's 30 feet long, 20 feet tall. It's like a sail. We couldn't get above 30 kilometers an hour on the highway. The highway was completely blown over with snow. There were 18 wheelers in the ditches. Like, I'm not being hyperbolic. This was like end of the world situation going on. I mean, you know, I come from a place where it's 40 below in the winter and we get 12 feet of snow. It's not that I'm wimpy and can't handle it. This was a catastrophic blizzard. In fact, the local law enforcement and the government, in fact, called a state of emergency. The highway was shut down in the direction we needed to go. So we pulled off, actually in Portage La Prairie, on the side of the highway at an abandoned gas station. The power is completely out everywhere you go. So, you know, we ran the generator a little bit and, you know, ran the heater on the truck a little bit. But we were trying to conserve. We only had a half tank of gas. And we had to spend the night out in 100 kilometer an hour winds in a literal blizzard. You could not see out the windows of the truck. Everything was completely iced over. So that was Summer's first night on the tour and pretty much the last one because the tour had to be turned around after that. We lasted until daybreak. And even then we put on the radio, checked all the emergency channels. And basically the idea was if you don't get turned around and headed back towards Winnipeg now, the highway will be closed in both directions. And then you're stranded in Portage La Prairie for days with no gas, no heat, no nothing.
In an RV. Yeah.
In an RV, you know, just got my kid from the airport. Welcome on the tour. And it's, you know, an icy hell. But that night stranded in Portage La Prairie, as crappy as it was, and we were kind of, you know, I was a little nervous, like we're in the middle of nowhere and we, you know, it was not very welcoming. We get a knock at the RV door and I'm thinking, you know, who the hell is knocking on the door? It's black dark. The winds are howling. You can't even see a foot outside the vehicle. I open the door and there's a guy standing there and he's got a pizza box and then a little box on top. And he's, you know, trying to hold himself. The wind's blowing him. And I was like, you know, he handed it to me and he said, look, I follow you on Twitter. I'm not even a gun owner, but I support what you're doing. I see the tour you're doing. I know that you're stranded here. Here's something hot to eat. And honestly, I could have cried right there. Like, just, you know, there was so many wonderful things that happened along the way, but, you know, this just went over and above. This guy saw us, went to the nearest place he could get pizza. He said it was the last one. They were closing the doors after that and closing shop, and turned around and brought us that pizza, you know, risked himself going back out into the storm to bring it to us. And, you know, we wished him, like, thanked him and told him to get home safely. But yeah, it just shows, like, the Canadian people are amazing. And they, you know, I don't know. It was really wonderful experience, except for sleeping in that thing all night long in a windstorm. But yeah, so basically we turned around the next morning, crack of dawn. Nothing had improved. In fact, the situation was getting worse. I did a compilation video. You can find it on my own personal social media, of just a handful of the vehicles and 18-wheelers and emergency vehicles in the ditch. When you've got the ditches full of tow trucks, you know you're in a problem here. Like, you're not getting out because the tow trucks are in the ditch. 18-wheelers were turned over and burnt out. I don't know what happened, and I hope people weren't hurt. But yeah, it was absolutely like nothing I've ever seen, especially this time of year. So
you were able to make your way back safely.
Yeah, we put the pedal to the metal. We rode that thing pretty hard, and we got out of there. And of course, as we started, you know, driving back across Manitoba into Ontario, the weather did improve as we went. So basically, we just burned it back to Ottawa, and I said, let's just regroup in Ottawa. The battle really is here in Ontario. I hate to say it, but it is true. And so we got back just in time to have a little meal with our family for Thanksgiving and spend some time with the family. And today I was back out there again. Of course, with 6 days before the big election, there's not, you know, it's hard to find anybody, but just driving around this bus, which is basically a billboard. I've been driving it through Catherine McKenna's riding, back and forth in front of her office, Mona Fortier, you know, there's the Chandra Arya, back out to McCrimmon's. You know, I've been kind of trailing around all over the city, you know, people honking, thumbs up out the window. I don't think things are going for the Liberals the way they think they are. So,
well, let's hope not. So, yeah, I mean, that's all in all, like, I'm sitting here looking at the time and I'm like, oh my God, it's 40 minutes.
I know, we talked a really long time, but there's a 2 week long story, right? So,
yeah. Well, and that's not even all the stories, but yeah, I mean, that was the integrity tour. And I think for something that we had put together so quickly, I think it was pretty good and it was worthwhile.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I definitely think it was worthwhile. I mean, we looked at different advertising opportunities as a registered third party political advertiser. You know, I've been doing research on billboards and radio spots and newspaper articles. And I thought, you know, your audience is so limited because you're in one area, right? And this is what we ended up with. And I got to say, like, people have seen this thing across province after province, city after city. I think it's the best thing we could do. And it's been a pretty viral social media campaign as well, which means a lot in this day and age, right?
So. Yeah, well, and that's, and it has to be a social media viral campaign because we did get a little bit of media coverage, but the media, again, right, likes to ignore you as if you're worth nothing. You're ignored. You don't even count. And I mean, you know, I don't want to get into a big discussion about the media partisanship, but I think even in the last few days in the news, we've seen so much. You know, I've been a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, almost sort of disoriented since I got back. I know you feel the same way. It's only because you put in so much effort and you almost feel like the whole system's rigged because, well, you feel that way because that's the truth.
It is.
Well, yeah. But I mean, I think this is just a good example. You know, like, I looked on social media, that's my own fault for looking on there, But every once in a while you'll look and you have our critics going, you know, like, have a nice holiday driving around in an RV. It's like for coming from somebody who's sitting at home, you know, tapping on their keyboard about what they would have done or what they would have said to Bill Blair had they been there. They weren't there. You know, you and I were the ones that had the guts to roll into the lion's den to Satan's parlor, you know, itself and sit down and try to engage this guy, you know, and do what we possibly could. So it's anyway, it's you know, this is the kind of stuff that we need to do to get attention because, you know, they're all against us. And I think both of us learned a lot on this tour about what works and what not and how long things take and what to expect and what we do differently. And God forbid we're on the losing end of an election, worst case scenario, you know, we know exactly what to do should that happen, because there'll be probably an entire cross-country tour, fully staffed, cameras, you know, edited videos going on. We couldn't edit videos because in a vehicle like we had, it was so rough. Like, cause I thought, oh, I'm going to be editing videos and putting them up to the YouTube channel and I can get all this work done in the back. It's like, no. Your hands can't even type back there.
Yeah. It's like typing on a roller coaster. Like it's insane, right? It's not a smooth ride. And there was nothing glamorous or luxurious about that trip. You know, you're sleeping in a tin can. We never got the heater going until two nights before we came back. Trapped in a snowstorm, teeth getting pulled out of your face. Like, no, this was not a holiday. I could absolutely use one, but this was not it. That's for sure.
Well, I don't think anybody that's our supporters believe that. But anyway, I was just an example of you know, we get it from both ends, I guess. We get it from our people from our community. And of course, we get it from the anti-gunners. But there's a lot of people that support us. I will say one thing before we wrap it up, because we've been going a while, is I did a an Ask Me Anything on Reddit. So I'm not on Reddit. Yeah, I'm not on Reddit. I think I was on there once ever. It's just I have too many social media platforms I have to deal with. So do you. I was convinced to do an Ask Me Anything on there. And it was really, really great. And I think it was. We have a lot of support on Reddit, so I'm really appreciative for that. And also was an opportunity to answer people's questions, and I did so quite in a lot of detail. It was on Saturday. It was on Saturday or Sunday. Anyway, I had to help my son move. So basically the questions are coming in. Staffer Steve was helping me, sending me the question, and then I would stop doing what I was doing and then use voice to text to answer the question in, you know, as detailed as I could. And then Steve would post it up for me. And then after Steve was off duty, I was doing that using voice to text and I answered a few more questions, but it was actually quite a cool experience to tell our story. I told the story of how the CCFR started and all the rest of that stuff and people appreciate it. So I guess all that to say, despite all the adversity that we have to deal with, it is amazing, especially your story about the guy with the pizza. It's just amazing how much support that we do get. And I just want people to know how much we appreciate that.
Absolutely. Now, the next time we do one of these podcasts, we will probably know the results of the election. In the meantime, there's a couple things people can do. I just want to get this out quick before we finish. October 21st, if you did not vote in the early voting, everybody needs to get out on next Monday and vote. Go out and do it early. And that way you can spend the rest of the day calling your friends, your brother, your cousins, your neighbors, speaking to people in your community, making sure everybody gets out and votes. I got to say, driving across the country in this thing, looking at the lawn signs in the various ridings all across Canada, you know, you've got some areas that, you know, a little more red, a little more blue, a little more orange, whatever. But I got to say, the majority of people didn't put anything out. And I almost wonder if that means that, you know, maybe there are people who are disenfranchised with the Liberals and are just not going to vote. And if so, that's okay. But we don't have that luxury. Every single one of us needs to get out. Every adult member of your household needs to get out. And you need to spend the day making sure, you know, whatever time you can spare, making sure that you get as many people as you can to get that gun vote out.
Yeah, it's now or never. And you don't want to be sitting there thinking, you know what, maybe I should have done something. So anyways, all right, well, we're going to wrap it up. I appreciate the update and all the stories, Tracy, and And let's hope for the best this coming Monday.
Sounds great. We'll talk soon.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 48 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. And, you know, as I sit here getting ready to sign off of this podcast, I can't help but think the next time that I do a podcast for you guys, it will be a different reality in Canada. And it very well could be the reality that we're going to be on our way to losing our guns. And it's even if you don't own semi-autos, believe me, it's only a matter of time till you're next. You know, once we're gone, you're next. So, you know, if there's any effort left in anybody out there and you haven't done, if you don't think you've done enough or you've got a little bit of time on election day, find every voting age person that you possibly can that can legally vote and drive them in your own vehicle if need be to the polls so that they can vote and then drive them home. Get everybody you can, especially in battlefield ridings. It's a very fine line to a majority, a minority, or complete defeat, right, in a lot of riding. So anyway, all that to say, if you can do that, at least you know you've done everything you possibly could should things turn for the worst. Or if we're in a better position than we are today, you can credit yourself for doing that. So anyway, a little bit of effort goes a long way, I think is what I'm trying to say. So anyway, if you want to become a member of the CCFR, we'd greatly appreciate it. You can donate or become a member at firearmrights.ca. Thanks, and hopefully we have good news in the next podcast. Take care, and we'll see you then.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.